Our energy system, well, it's really undergoing this massive transformation, isn't it? We're shifting towards more renewables, and everything's just becoming inherently more complex. This evolution, it's not just about new wind turbines or solar panels, it's actually triggering this huge explosion of data. So the question is, how do countries manage this tidal wave of information to keep their electricity grids stable, efficient, especially when energy needs to flow, seamlessly across borders? Our deep dive today unpacks exactly this challenge. We're looking through the lens of Energinet, that's Denmark's transmission system operator. We're going to explore their strategic approach to managing these vast amounts of data for both electricity and gas, actually all while leveraging global standards.
Yeah, and our source material for this is it's a pretty comprehensive report on Energinet's information management principles. It really zeroes in on how they leverage these foundational standards like the Common Information Model CIM. You'll hear us say the Common Grid Model Exchange Standard or CGMES and IEC 61850. And we've also got some valuable insights into how other Nordic and European TSOs, the transmission system operators, are tackling the same pretty critical challenge.
Okay, and our mission today really is to cut through some of that complexity, maybe shine a light on why these, let's face it, technical standards are absolutely crucial. We want to show you how they're literally building the future of energy. So by the end of this deep dive, you'll be hopefully well informed on what we're calling the invisible backbone of modern grid operations. So let's set the scene a bit more. The energy system is evolving incredibly fast, right? Creating these immense data integration needs. Energinet, as Denmark's TSO for both electricity and gas, they're right at the forefront of this. What's the core problem they're trying to solve here with all this data?
Well, fundamentally, it's all about managing complexity and enabling that seamless cross-border collaboration. Just think about it for a second. Every new solar farm, every smart meter, every cross-border interconnector just generates more and more data. So Energinet's strategic solution is to adopt these modern information management principles, ones built on global standards. And the overarching goal, it's to establish what they call a single source of truth for all their network information. Now, this isn't just some, tidy organizational idea. It dramatically simplifies and streamlines critical system integrations. We're talking everything from real-time operational control SCADA systems to long-term planning and asset management. And ultimately, it's what enables robust cooperation, not just, with their Nordic neighbors, but really with the entire intermediary community across Europe.
A single source of truth. Okay, that sounds like the holy grail for data management, doesn't it? But how do these standards actually work to achieve something so, well, monumental? Where does Energinet even begin with something this fundamental?
Right. Well, the foundation, it truly begins with something called the Common Information Model, or CIM. You can sort of think of it as the ultimate universal language for grid data. Before CIM, every piece of grid equipment, every software system, every planning tool might as well have been speaking a different dialect, Integrating them was like trying to assemble this incredibly complex puzzle where, like, half the pieces didn't quite fit. It required all these custom, often fragile connections.
So CIM acts like a universal translator then. It's not just about sharing the data points, but making sure everyone understands that data in exactly the same way, right?
Exactly. That's the key. It's maintained by the IEC, the International Electrotechnical Commission. And CIM defines this really rich, standardized set of object classes. Think substations, transformers, measurements, and all their intricate relationships. It often uses UML, a visual modeling language, so you can represent complex grid elements and their connections clearly. And this data, it's typically exchanged as XML files. But the real power here, the bottom line, is that utilities can finally stop building those custom one-off data links. Those used to be a constant headache. It makes data sharing vastly simpler, drastically reduces maintenance, and crucially, ensures consistency across different applications. It's basically a common vocabulary for all grid entities and their attributes.
Okay, that immediately sounds like it simplifies things internally a lot. But how does this universal language scale up? How does it work for, say, international cooperation between different countries' grid operators? That sounds like another level of complexity.
Yeah, and that's precisely where CGMES comes in. That's the Common Grid Model Exchange Specification. Now, this standard, it's defined by ENTSOE, which is the European Network of Transmission System Operators for Electricity. CGMES is specifically a profile or subset of CIM that's tailored for TSOs like Energinet to exchange their transmission network models. And it's not just like a good idea or a suggestion. European regulations now require TSOs to use CGMES for planning and operations. And this includes maintaining globally unique IDs for all grid elements.
Globally unique IDs.
for every single element.
That sounds incredibly granular. Why is that specific detail so critical for international cooperation? Because without it, well, trying to merge grid models from different countries would be like trying to assemble that puzzle again. But this time, half the pieces don't match, or they have conflicting labels. You just can't do it reliably. Those globally unique IDs ensure that when EnergyNet's internal models are merged with, say, models from Norway, Sweden, Germany, or anywhere else in Europe, they fit together seamlessly, like puzzle pieces, really. This ensures true interoperability, which means each party's software can interpret the model unambiguously. And it's absolutely vital for consistency when you're conducting multi-TSO studies to ensure system stability across borders. You need everyone looking at the same agreed-upon picture.
Okay, so from an information management perspective, taking a step back, what makes CM and CGM together so profoundly powerful for an organization like EnergyNet? What are the big wins?
Well, there are several really crucial benefits that fundamentally transform how an organization handles its grid data. Let me break them down a bit. First, you've got standardization and interoperability. Sounds simple, but it's huge. All systems, internal and external, effectively speak the same language for grid data. This drastically improves understanding across different systems, different departments, even different organizations. When models are inconsistent, and believe me, they often were, you get manual workarounds, errors pop up, and there's significant operational risk. A single standard just mitigates that entirely.
Right, gets everyone on the same page, literally.
Exactly. Second, there's integration efficiency. With a CIM-based approach, when you need new data exchanges, they can follow standard procedures instead of requiring custom, often really labor-intensive formats every single time. Take Amprion, a German TSO, for example. They use CIM to automate connections between their asset databases and their network analysis tools. This made their data sharing far more frequent and, importantly, more reliable.
Okay, so less custom coding, more plug and play.
Pretty much. Third, it really facilitates that single source of truth we mentioned earlier. By consolidating data into a central CIM-compliant database, a TSO can maintain what people often call an electrical digital twin of the grid. This unified model serves as this consistent environment for everything, from simulating potential grid changes to optimizing day-to-day operations. Amprion's CIM database now serves exactly this central purpose for them.
A digital twin. That sounds powerful.
It is. Fourth benefit is multi-domain coverage. CIM is designed to be a neutral, unbiased data model for all domains. It spans everything from, you know, the real-time SCADA and energy management systems, the EMS, all the way to asset management and even geographic information systems, GIS StatNet, Norway's TSO. They actually use a CIM-based graph database, pretty cutting edge, as the master data source for their entire power system model. And they link real-time measurements or maintenance records directly to the relevant CIM asset objects. It gives them this truly comprehensive view.
Wow. Connecting real-time data right to the asset model.
Yeah. And finally, number five is regulatory compliance and future-proofing. Aligning with CIM and CGME ensures compliance with those European data exchange requirements we talked about. But it also future-proofs EnergyNet's data model. It allows it to adapt to new smart grid needs, like integrating way more renewables, or handling complex flexibility data from consumers or batteries without having to completely rebuild their information architecture from scratch every few years.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense. So CGMEs give us the big picture, the blueprint for the entire grid. But when we zoom right in, what about the nitty-gritty details, like right down at the substation level? That's where things get really fast-paced and granular, isn't it?
You're absolutely right to ask that. That's exactly where IEC 61850 comes into the picture. It's another international standard, but this one is specifically designed for substation automation and communication. It defines how all those intelligent electronic devices, IEDs, you'll hear them called, things like protection relays, sensors, meters, how they communicate reliably in real time within the substation. It provides a standardized data model specifically for that operational data, think switch statuses, analog readings like voltage or current, and ensures consistency across different vendors and equipment types right there in the field.
Okay, so IEC 61850 handles the substation chatter. How does that fit into the larger CIM framework then? How do these two standards complement each other, or do they overlap?
That's a great question. They complement each other perfectly, really. Think of it this way. CIM models the abstract grid elements in your overall network model, like conceptually a circuit breaker as a piece of equipment. IEC 61850, on the other hand, models the live device in the substation, the actual physical breaker, and its real-time status points. Is it open? Is it closed? What's the current flowing through it right now? So bridging the two allows utilities to link that real-time telemetry coming from their operational SCADA systems, which often gets its data via 61850, directly to the corresponding high-level asset representation in the main CIM network model. This integration of IEC 61850 and CIM is it's a really crucial step toward creating a truly unified information model, one that spans seamlessly from the macro grid view right down to individual field devices.
Right, connecting the planning model with the real-time reality. So practically speaking, what does this unified approach mean for Energinet's day-to-day operations and maybe their future capabilities? What are the tangible benefits?
Yeah, for Energinet, focusing on bringing that 61850-based real-time data into a central model, but using CIM semantics to structure it, yields some pretty significant practical benefits. For one, you get faster integration of field data. What that means is new substations, or maybe just upgraded equipment in an old one, can be brought online and integrated into the overall system much, much more quickly than before. Less manual mapping. It also enables enhanced analytics, because when that real-time data is associated with the rich context of the CI model, knowing exactly which transformer or line that measurement belongs to, it gives operators and analytical tools much deeper situational awareness, better decisions faster. And crucially, there's consistency in naming and identification. This might sound trivial, but it really reduces confusion and ensures everyone, from the control room operators to the long-term planning teams, is referring to the exact same assets using the exact same terms. So when you manage all three together, CI and CGMs and IEC 61850, you're truly setting the stage for an end-to-end digital twin of the grid, a dynamic, real-time, data-rich representation of the entire energy system.
Okay, so putting all these pieces together, it's clear this isn't just about, you know, tweaking the tech stack or buying new software. It sounds like it's about fundamentally changing how Energinet thinks about and manages its information. It embodies some core principles of really sound information management, doesn't it?
Absolutely. It's definitely a strategic shift, not just a technical one. At its heart, you've got this principle of a shared semantic model. This just means having that single common data definition framework like CIM provides. It creates a shared understanding of data across all departments, and it basically eliminates ambiguity. No more different teams guessing what, say, transformer rating means.
Everyone's singing from the same hymn sheet.
Exactly. Then there's centralized metadata and cataloging. This is about actively managing all those data definitions, the schemas, the business glossaries, in a central metadata catalog that's accessible to the entire organization. It ensures everyone is quite literally speaking the same language when it comes to data.
Okay, so you know where to find the definition of anything.
Precisely. Next up, data quality and consistency. It's just far easier to enforce quality standards when you have one canonical model. Those inconsistencies between systems are proactively eliminated because all systems are referencing the same agreed-upon model. Amprion, for instance, that German TSO, they found that avoiding model inconsistencies was absolutely essential to preventing serious inaccuracies in their grid simulations and planning.
Right. Garbage in, garbage out otherwise.
You got it. Fourth principle, integration and openness. Adhering to open standards like CIM makes Energinet's whole IT architecture much more modular and integration friendly. You might use something like an enterprise service bus, an ESB, to mediate data exchanges, but it does so using the standard CIM format. And this really simplifies external data sharing too, which, as we've said, is crucial for things like Nordic regional coordination.
Makes connecting easier internally and externally.
Mm-hmm. Then we also have lifecycle management. This covers versions and evolution. Because these information models, they're living artifacts, right? They're not static documents you create once. They require robust version control and a really controlled process for updates and extensions. Often this is overseen by something like a change management board to make sure changes are consistent and don't break things.
So the model evolves as the grid evolves.
Exactly. And finally, there's scalability and future data domains. Once you've laid the strong data foundation for the electricity grid, you can then extend it to other domains, like Energinet is doing with gas system data or potentially market data later on. Ultimately, the goal is to create an enterprise-wide data ecosystem that enables much more advanced analytics and cross-domain insights.
Wow. Okay. That's incredibly comprehensive. It really does sound like a massive, almost cultural shift for an organization like Energinet. You can't just, you know, throw technology at this problem and expect it to work, can you? What kind of organizational structure, what kind of governance is needed to make this truly stick and deliver value.
You're absolutely right. That's a critical point. Other utilities have definitely learned, sometimes the hard way, that the technology alone is insufficient. You need clear roles, responsibilities, and really robust processes wrapped around it. First off, you typically need some kind of data governance council or steering group. This should be a cross-functional team bringing people together from IT, operations, planning, asset management. They're responsible for the overall strategy, for approving the standards being used, and importantly, for resolving any conflicts that inevitably arise, like how do we incorporate new data attributes for offshore wind farms, for example.
Okay, so a high-level direction in decision-making.
Correct. Then you need clear roles. Specifically data owners and data stewards. You have to assign accountability for the quality and the usefulness of the data for each major data domain, like network topology or measurements or asset details. This ensures that every piece of data in that central model in the catalog remains accurate and up to date. Someone is responsible.
Someone owns the data quality for each piece.
Exactly. An information model manager, or maybe a CIM architect role, is also crucial. This is your go-to technical expert. They manage the central UML model. They handle the version upgrades for standards like CIM or CGMES. They document any extensions EnergyNet makes, and they work to prevent fragmentation of the model.
Be guardian of the model itself.
You could say that. Then a data catalog implementation is vital. We mentioned this metadata repository. It captures all the metadata about the data sets, the schema mappings to IMCGMs, the glossary terms, data lineage, where did this data come from. It really acts as a communication and discovery portal where users across the company can actually find and understand the data that's available.
Making the data discoverable and understandable.
Right. And of course, you need robust governance processes, formal processes for onboarding new data sources, for change management, like handling an upgrade to CGMES version 3.0, which is a big deal for quality control, including audits and automated tests, and for continuous catalog updates and review. Plus, ongoing training and communication is key.
So defined ways of working.
Absolutely. And finally, let's not forget security and access governance. This is paramount, obviously, for critical infrastructure data. It includes things like strict role-based access control, data encryption, constant monitoring for breaches, and ensuring everything aligns with regulations like the EU Data Governance Act.
Okay, this robust governance structure, it sounds like that's what ensures the whole data infrastructure actually delivers trusted, reliable data day in, day out. And it prevents that model decay over time, which, yeah, that could be a silent killer for these complex systems if you don't manage it. Now, EnergyNet is certainly, you know, leading the charge here in many ways, but as you mentioned, they're not alone in this journey. What can we learn from how other companies, other TSOs, have tackled this CIM-based data management challenge? What were some of their specific hurdles or successes?
Yeah, we can definitely learn a lot from their experiences. It's always useful to see how others have approached similar problems. Take Amprion from Germany, for example. We mentioned them earlier. They face that classic problem. Dozens of siloed databases, each department having its own version of grid information. It led to constant inconsistencies, rework, delays, a real mess. So they made the strategic decision to consolidate onto a central CIM database for their high voltage grid, using a specific vendor product in their case. And crucially, they paired this with an enterprise service bus for all application communication, the big success. They achieved that single source of truth, eliminated the inconsistencies, and significantly sped up their planning and operational processes.
So they tackled the silo problem head on.
They did. Now, Statnett, Norway's TSO, they took a fascinating, maybe more innovative approach. They actually leveraged a cloud-based data platform, Cognite Data Fusion, specifically to build a CIM-based graph database. This became the master data source for their entire power system model. And the graph structure allowed them to easily link real-time sensor readings and maintenance logs directly to the corresponding CIM objects. Their emphasis was really on making data easily queryable for deeper, faster insights.
Yeah, interesting. Using a graph database approach, that's different.
It is. And then in the UK, National Grid has gone perhaps even further in some ways. They were driven partly by a regulatory push for network data digitalization and interoperability. They've actually gone so far as to publish parts of their network model in CIM format, specifically CGMEs, for open use by third parties, which is quite progressive. And they clearly understood this transformation required dedicated resources. They established a specific digitalization and data team and a formal data governance group to oversee it.
So regulation and transparency transparency driving things there.
Seems like it. And then, beyond individual companies, you see regional coordination efforts. Things like the Nordic Common Grid Model Alignment, CGMA, service. This highlights how the Nordic TSOs actively coordinate to ensure their individual grid models really do fit together properly when they're merged for regional studies. This isn't trivial. It implies a deep, ongoing commitment to harmonize data standards across borders. And ENSOE itself has active working groups and detailed roadmaps specifically focused on CIM implementation across all of Europe.
Okay, so there's a clear pattern emerging.
Yeah, the common takeaways from all these examples are pretty clear, I think. First, the critical importance of strong governance backing and a phased implementation. You can't boil the ocean. Second, the need for dedicated teams and expertise, whether internal or brought in. Third, leveraging vendor expertise where appropriate. And fourth, something we keep coming back to, effective change management. Getting employees at all levels to understand the why behind adopting a common model is just as important, maybe even more important, than the technology itself. It really is a marathon, not a sprint.
Right, bringing the people along with the technology. So zooming back out, by organizing all their data in this meticulous, standardized way, how does this truly position EnergyNet beyond just improving its own internal operations? What are the ripple effects, the implications for the broader energy landscape in the Nordics and Europe?
Well, fundamentally, it makes EnergyNet a fully interoperable player in that wider Nordic and European context. And this has some very tangible real-world implications. First, think about seamless TSO to TSO integration. When each TSO uses CGMES reliably, their individual grid models really can plug together like puzzle pieces, as we said. This automates hugely complex tasks, like building that single unified NGOE common grid model every single day. And that daily model is absolutely vital for coordinating power flows across the entire continent, ensuring stability.
So it underpins the stability of the whole European grid.
In a very real way, yes. Then there's enhanced Nordic coordination. You could imagine EnergyNet providing a reliable CIM-compliant data feed of its real-time grid status to some kind of central Nordic data exchange platform. This would allow for unprecedented regional visibility and much deeper collaboration on managing flows, handling outages, integrating renewables across the whole region.
A shared operational picture for the Nordics.
Potentially, yes. This also impacts data hubs and market integration. If you expand the use of these standard models, it could mean aligning market data schemas too, like another standard, IEC 62325, which deals with market communications. This could pave the way for future EU data space for energy initiatives, creating genuinely integrated, more efficient energy markets.
Connecting grid data with market data using standards.
Exactly. It also fundamentally enables innovation and analytics. Having this well-organized, standardized data foundation allows EnergyNet to potentially share anonymized versions of its models with research projects or Nordic innovation labs more easily and safely. This fosters collective analytics, multiple parties analyzing data consistently, and could even lead to a federated catalog approach where data becomes discoverable across organizations and borders, sparking new ideas.
Opens up data for research and development.
It could. And finally, let's not forget cross-domain collaboration. Extending this rigorous information management approach to their gas network data, as EnergyNet is doing, really facilitates gas-electric coordination. This is becoming increasingly important for integrated system simulations. For example, understanding precisely how a major gas pipeline outage might impact power plants reliant on that gas and how the electricity grid needs to respond, or vice versa.
Right, seeing the whole energy system picture.
That's the goal. Ultimately, it's all about making EnergyNet integration ready at every level, significantly reducing the time, the cost, and the effort needed for any new integration, whether internal or external, and cultivating deep fundamental trust in the underlying data itself.
Okay, so as we wrap up this deep dive into grid data management, all these standards, CIM, CGMES, IEC 61850, what's the biggest takeaway? What should our listener really walk away with?
Well, I think the key point is that by embracing these information management principles, the standards, and the crucial governance best practices, EnergyNet isn't just, you know, boosting its internal efficiency or reducing IT headaches. That happens, but it's bigger than that. They are actively building a robust, future-proof digital foundation for cooperation across the entire energy sector. That stretches from seamless local interoperability with their partners right there in Denmark, all the way to enabling these groundbreaking pan-European data exchange initiatives. The strategic pathway, it really positions them to be a truly data-driven, highly interoperable TSO. And that strengthens their absolutely vital role in the broader, rapidly digitalizing energy ecosystem that we're all moving towards.
It's fascinating, isn't it? When you consider how this seemingly invisible layer of data standardization, it just quietly underpins every single effort we're making to transition to renewable energy and ensure reliable power delivery, not just locally, but across entire continents. It's so easy to focus on the big visible things, the wind turbines, the solar farms, the transmission lines. But maybe we should pause and think. How much of our future energy security truly relies on these complex, often unseen, agreements and meticulously structured data systems like CMM and CGMs, all working together behind the scenes? Something to ponder.